Breakfast puppies, dinner puppies, lunch puppies. Ain't no thing. I'll dust all them puppies because I'm Jebediah. I'm the farmer over here. I got all your dusting puppy needs.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Welcome to another out-of-rotation character jam for Bikers, Dice, and Bars. This is recorded in place of one of our regularly scheduled episodes due to a last-minute mix-up. So, as usual, we're going to sit here and drink and try to work our way through a character creation system of a different game every time. As usual, I'm NPC.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Poppy Beaujolais.
And joining us as our guests on the show,
I'm the Mad Marquis.
And the Mad Marquis, I believe you were on with us before on our burlesque episode, and you're on our Hammer Crawl podcast now, too, which just released the first episode, the new episode of our new campaign today.
Yes, I hear it launched just a few moments ago, so I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Yeah, like literally I put it on the feed about an hour ago.
So for once, it's okay that I haven't listened to the thing that I should have listened to.
Finally have an excuse.
So first off, what are we drinking?
Yeah. We are drinking George Dickel rye whiskey.
Now, didn't you bring the George Dickel on here before?
I might have.
Oh, okay. Well,
Our smooth rye whiskey is inspired by the timeless traditions and craftsmanship that make our Tennessee whiskey world famous. This remarkable whiskey is crafted by distilling a 95% rye whiskey, among the highest rye content whiskeys to be found. We think George Dickel rye whiskey is the finest around, and we hope you'll enjoy it too.
These opinions aren't necessarily expressed by the Bikers, Dice, and Bars podcast.
Not until somebody cuts you a check from George Dickel Distillery anyway, then you'll express those opinions all the time.
George Dickel, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, let us know.
I actually am a very big fan of George Dickel. I think the rye whiskey anyways, I think it's actually one of the better buys for the price that it is. And a 95% rye content makes me very happy.
I don't hate it.
Who's George Dickel?
Guy made the whiskey.
Well, I'm going to read the bio that's on the side of the thing. Bottle is prepared for this question.
It sure is.
George A. Dickel. Back in 1870, George worked to fulfill the dream of crafting the smoothest Tennessee whiskey around. At George Dickel, we believe that to make the best whiskey, there is one ingredient needed most. Time. So we let our whiskey rest as long as it needs to before we bottle it. There is an attractive picture of an incredibly festively bearded man.
We see why Xander likes it.
Yes. And here we go. Legend has it that early on, George discovered that his whiskey made in the cold winter months tasted smoother. Today, we honor this tradition by chilling all of our whiskey before filtering them through sugar maple charcoal. We think this makes for a fine, smooth whiskey and hope you agree.
I agree.
I was sad. I wanted more info about who George Dickel was.
Well, let's talk about the game that we're playing today. So I want to give this a little bit of an intro here. This is called Forbidden Lands, and it is one of the newest games from a company called Fria Ligan, or the Free League. They are from Sweden. They have a number of games that have come out. We did one on this show already called Tales from the Loop.
Oh, I heard of that.
That's the same company. They also did Mutineer Zero, Coriolis. They recently released the official licensed Alien RPG.
Oh.
Based on the H.R. Geiger Ridley Scott movie.
A new Alien RPG.
It is actually licensed too, which is rare.
Was the one from the 90s not?
The
Aliens one specifically. It was Aliens RPG because it was all based on that movie.
I never read or played that
one. It's weird.
But this game is Free League taking on their standard, you know, you got to push harder to succeed dice system and applying it to fantasy survival adventure in the style of the old school gaming renaissance that's been happening right now. But go ahead, Mark, and take it away. Read the back.
All right. We begin with some flavor text in all italics for ease of identification. Round the beggar from Verasa all sat in a ring, and by the campfire they sat and heard his song about walkers and wolfkin and every terrible thing, and of his fear he sang to them all night long. There is something beyond the mountains, beyond the howls, beyond the mist. There is something behind the veils, behind hearts cold as stone. Hearken, something walks and whispers, walks and lures you in and whimpers. Come to us, for this earth shall ever be ours and ours alone.
Ooh, shivers.
Right. And then in the actual descriptive text, Forbidden Lands is a new take on classic fantasy role-playing. In this sandbox survival role-playing game, you're not heroes sent on a mission dictated by others. Instead, you are raiders and rogues bent on making your own mark in a cursed world. You will discover lost tombs, fight terrible monsters, wander the wildlands, and, if you live long enough, build your own struggle to defend.
So sandbox is a term I've heard used in video games. What does that mean in the terms of a tabletop RPG?
Essentially the same thing. You have a world that's open to explore, but the GM isn't going to sit down and build out an epic plot line. There's things happening in the backgrounds, whether or not the players involve themselves with them. The world moves on. You are not heroes. You are simply there to explore a world and experience an adventure that you largely push yourself.
So does that, okay.
Sounds like Random Encounter Tables, the game NPC.
Sort of. So this game is pushed by, you have a bunch of locations. And those locations, or they call them adventure sites, have things going on there. Oh. And then you insert adventurers and things happen. Like, there could be someone trying to raise an army of the dead when you walk in there. That army of the dead has nothing to do with you and nothing to do with your past. But you arrive looking for a place to camp for the night and you find out there's something sinister going on. Do you A, go fight it, or B, yeah, make friends with them, C, fuck off and go somewhere else because nobody wants any of that. It's entirely up to you.
So there's not a like through line plot as there is with a lot of other kind of RPGs, like something like Tales from the Loop, where it's like, there is this thing that happened and that is sort of the flavor of the whole universe.
This is also exactly how Tales from the Loop is played. You make a group of kids and you put those kids in a town, and in the background, weird things are happening that the kids stumble upon, and they can choose to be involved in it, but they don't have to.
Oh, right. You were talking about this the other day, that's the sort of like Stranger Things, Goonies, Monster Squad game.
Yes. Xander, you had a question. I ask because you're taking a shot.
I guess my question is, how is it that much different than playing a normal role-playing tabletop game in which I would like to go to this area and then we go to the area and there's still things happening?
It's not. It's no different than that.
So it's just a weird term that they're using to make video gamers want to play tabletop RPGs?
Sandbox gaming has been used for much longer than video games have been using it. Video games took it from tabletop games.
So they're taking it back.
Is the style of gaming that you call when you sit down to play, you make a party of adventurers, you buy a map at the end, follow it to see if there's any treasure. But on the way, you get waylaid by bandits. You get taken to their lair. Okay, now you get to take over the bandits. Okay, well, guess what? We don't care about that adventure map. We're going to become the bandits now. These are our bitches, and this is our new lair. So now we're going to lead this campaign where we just terrorize the countryside. And the whole time the GM's like, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's the opposite of the railroad.
Whereas modern gaming now, the reason that sandbox has become such a term that comes out more and more often with a lot of people inspired by old school games is because a lot of modern tabletop games heavily push the meta plot. They push the adventure path is what they call it now. The rails are increasingly there. And it's something that at least I shy away from now. And it's essentially it's a term that is required to market a game in that style these days.
Well, go ahead.
So I was just saying, I just found a pretty good definition on technopedia.com for sandbox, if Fake anyone news. Is interested. Okay, I'm going to read it. A sandbox is a style of game in which minimal character limitations are placed on the gamer, allowing the gamer to roam and change a virtual world at will. In contrast to a progression style game, a sandbox game emphasizes roaming and allows a gamer to select tasks. Instead of featuring segmented areas or numbered levels, a sandbox game usually occurs in a, quote, world to which the gamer has full access from start to finish. A sandbox game is also known as an open world or free roaming game. Okay, so there's no leveling up There's correct. No like I unlock this thing at I gotcha. Okay.
I don't think it necessarily precludes like a level based character progression system. Yeah. It's just that there's no in theory like and really like sandbox games, especially sandbox video games, often have like areas that you can't access till you have the right X, Y, or Z component, equipment, vehicle, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like obviously if you're playing, let's imagine you were playing a real world based medieval fantasy RPG, you obviously need a boat to access other continents, right? So there's definitely that in sandbox games still, I think, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And I misspoke, Poppy. I was answering you on autopilot. Leveling up does happen in this game. You gain experience mm-hmm. and you increase your character's abilities.
Okay.
You don't have a level per se because your character advances openly. You put points in different things as you want to. Like if you want to focus more on fighting, that's all you can focus on if you want. You can focus on some magic user. You can do all kind of stuff.
A skill-based system rather than a class system, level system.
Yeah. Skills and traits, basically.
Got it.
Well, Forbidden Lands, again, classic fantasy game. It has a lot of inspiration from the old school fantasy worlds, such as Tolkien and Elric and those settings that inspired us. Yes, Mark.
Oh, no, I just wanted to encourage everyone during this part of the listen to, if possible, pull up a picture of the official character sheet, because it completely references that visually what you were just describing. This is like painfully like back of the 1989 player's manual looking fonts and layout choices and et cetera. And it's adorable if you're old like me.
All of the components on the sheet are styled to look like bags or shields or components. They're there to draw you in.
It
to
is entirely the like circa 1990-ish D&D character sheet from whatever, like probably the black. Maybe the black book, player's handbook, had something that looked
like
that.
We didn't have sheets that cool when I was young.
They existed, but none of us had photocopiers or printers. That was the act. They were in the book. You were just unable to do anything with them.
There's so many skulls on here. I love it.
Yes, there is a whole wide variety of interesting knuckle tattoo options in the art here. I mean, I shit you not. Like, if somebody came up to me and had, like, the food, the water bottle, the arrows, and the torch as their four knuckle tattoos, I think they were cool.
Dear listener, if you are one of these people out here who has a Forbidden Land set of knuckle tattoos,
or even just close enough,
just send us some pictures of it, and the first drink's on us. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into this. So, as we do in these character jams, we kind of free flow through a character creation system. Now, Forbidden Lands, by default, in this beautiful book that smells amazing.
Oh, can I read the description of the book from the back of the box?
Oh, yeah, please do.
So this is a box set a la classic Dungeons & Dragons. It actually looks quite a bit like a board game if you just saw it at the store. Like, it does not out itself as an RPG very effectively from the art or anything. But it has a description of the contents, which I did not get to. Contents of this box set. A hardcover player's manual, the one over which NPC was just inhaling the leatherette finish. It describes itself as a hardcover player's manual with
good words.
Faux leather covers. Mm. Regarding rules for fast character generation, visceral combat, lethal magic, dangerous journeys, and for building your own stronghold. And easily ported into other game worlds. Although I don't know how you move your stronghold into other game worlds. That seems like the DM would have to be cool with that. We also have a hardcover Game Master's Guide, again, with faux leather cover.
Vegans.
And that's faux leather, like your enemies are going to beat you with it.
It's made from the skins of our enemies,
It's fox leather. It says right here that's clearly made from foxes.
Oh, good.
That's how you spell fox in Sweden.
Nice. I'm in.
Including a rich and detailed description of the Forbidden Land setting, a large illustrated bestiary, extensive random encounters, and three complete adventure sites. As you mentioned, sites are around.
Oh, adventure sites.
The Legends and Adventurers booklet that lets you flesh out your character and give them unique backgrounds. And then here's the two details that make it, once again, sound like a board game. A large full-color map, which gamers love full-color maps, don't get me wrong. But, allow me to finish this paragraph, that gives you the freedom to explore the Forbidden Lands any way you want, hex by hex.
Okay, so I want to make a comment on this, and I'm going to tie it back to your board game reference here. So it comes with a double-sided map. The map shows the same thing on both sides. The reason is
I have the last bullet point that says the reason.
Yeah. You go for it. Go for it.
The I don't want to steal your thunder. The final bullet point on the back is a sheet with stickers for adventure sites and gravestones, transforming the game into a living permanent stickers. Record of your adventures. Who doesn't love stickers? But I would put Hello Kitty ones instead. That's just me.
That's because this is designed to be a sandbox game where you sit down at the table, you lay out the map, you make characters, and then you point at a spot on the map and say, we want to start here. And then you go hex by hex through the wilderness and encounter things.
Where is this map?
It's in the box. I left it in there. But it comes with stickers.
Oh, stickers.
Yes. And which would be also good knuckle tattoos.
You put the stickers on the map directly to indicate places that you've been and what you found there. Now, the player's book doesn't even tell you much about the game world. All of that's in the Game Master's book, because this setting is a dark fantasy world where there was basically a 300-year apocalypse happening that kept everyone trapped in their villages, couldn't really travel more than a few miles in any direction, and it just passed. So people don't remember most of the history of the world, except what has been passed down to them through their village elders. And
so it's just like modern times.
Without the internet, though.
So just like modern times. Yeah. It's not like there's information on the internet.
But something else is that the sites that are all on the map, people don't remember them either. So none of the sites that are on the map are hard-coded to those locations. Everything that you read in the Game Master's book is a whole lot of interesting places where things happened, but you could put them anywhere. And that I love.
My only critique of the map itself is it's a little dark. Like if we were talking about like product quality, it's a little hard to read the labels on the map itself. That's a little suboptimal. It's not terrible. And
I do agree with that. The map is not the best.
Although I will, now that I'm looking at the box art, does everyone agree with me that this guy riding on this like eight-legged dinosaur thing looks like Ultron?
Well, here's a note. Is the cover?
I don't know what that means.
The cover of the art, that is a picture, a painting by Simon Stollenhag, who did all the art for Tales from the Loop.
Ah. But tell me, doesn't that look like Ultron?
Actually a character in the story, in the world. Poppy?
One of the stickers is a place called Graveyard of Thunder. That is amazing.
I mean, they had to bury Thor somewhere after the apocalypse.
So is that your AC/DC gothic cover band?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay, let's go ahead and get down to character creation. So as I was saying, the core book comes with a method for you to hand make your characters by you pick a kin, as they call races, a kin. You pick a class.
K-I-N, K-E-N.
Like not Barbie's kinda. Boyfriend.
Got it.
You pick your kin, you pick your class, and your class just roughly defines your starting abilities, and from there you can generally go wherever you want. But then you pick your, put your stats where you want them and so on. Very, almost exactly like we did Tales from the Loop.
Okay.
Cool.
But the little book that comes in the box set, Legends and Adventures, has an alternate character creation system.
Uh-oh.
Randomly rolled.
Oh, he's just got thrown for a loop.
So I would like to make a note here.
NPC's favorite form of character generation.
That starting in 2 nights, I'm actually going to be running this game at my home on a weekly basis, but I've never actually gone through the character creation process. So this is sort of a field test. Oh. Yeah. All right, guys.
Okay.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do everything random.
Hell yeah, we are.
Because that's the fun way.
Somebody slide the dice past the chicken.
What you need to do is get 2 6-sided dice. That's it. Because this works on what's called a D66 system.
Do they need to be different colors then?
It would be a good idea to have them different colors and state which one is your first die. Yeah.
Tens and ones.
Those words. Yeah.
Pink.
I'm going to be festive with red and green.
Well, Marquis, looks like you're ready to roll first. So we're going to everybody roll your kin randomly.
So all right. we need a what and a what?
It's a tens and a ones place.
Ten basically. And a one. Okay. So pink for 10. Sure.
Yeah, essentially, you need a first and a second digit.
Primary color for large digit. Secondary color for secondary digit.
I'm rolling both.
So Marquis, what
61.
You got?
61.
Oh, wow. You are Wolfkin.
Hey, they were mentioned on the back of the box. I feel important.
Oh.
Okay. Poppy. Werewolves of Ravenland.
Wolfkin in the Graveyard of Thunder.
Whatever. The wolves of Zeramund would kick your ass. Hail Faruza.
Okay. Whatever. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard for the win.
25.
What is that from? I heard someone say that earlier. Is it
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard?
Oh, it's an actual band.
Yeah, I heard about them on another YouTube gaming thing.
All right. Okay, Poppy, what was that?
A YouTube dating site?
Gaming.
Like, I don't know.
Am I allowed to shout out other cool things on your show? Not affiliated.
Save it towards the end. Okay. We'll do shout outs then.
Okay. Yeah.
25. Ah, you are Asleen Human.
Spell that first word.
Aslene.
I thought it was that she leaned human. Like, she wasn't sure she was human. I leaned towards human.
No. Okay. She's like the Rachel Dawsonell of the.
I'll explain.
She's a dwarf who identifies as human.
Yeah.
Dolezal.
I will explain. Same.
Whatever. I don't even care.
Yeah.
We all know who we're talking about.
I will explain what these mean in a bit.
Okay.
And finally, DXG, roll me. What you got?
Double fives.
You, my friend, are an orc.
Hell yeah.
Of course, the funny thing is we're all assuming these words mean anything we're familiar with in any other RPG.
Yeah, what on earth?
Which I always thought was a really trolly option that is under neglected in some RPGs, is just not having these things be what you expect them to be.
So I'm going
to
start with Marquis once again. And I'm going to read the racial description. And essentially, this is all the history you get in the core book. This is it. It doesn't have world background in here. The GM is told everything and gets to dole it out to the players as they learn more about the world that they're in.
Sure.
Anyway, Wolfkin. Weaklings, all of them. No need to go inside and warm their paws. Need to go inside and warm their paws by the fire after a day in the woods. Need to boil the meat so they can stomach it. They couldn't stand the breath of the huntress, so they died like weak pups. All the rot in the world springs from its weakness. You and your pack live as was intended. You hunt. You howl together and beat sticks and drums because your own voices have grown weak. Enough is enough. You are leaving to teach the weaklings how everyone should live. And if someone says that the wolfkin did not roam the first forests, they will feel your claws at their throat and you will taste their blood.
Tasty.
They seem so friendly and neighborly.
I know.
Okay, human.
My name's Goldilocks. Can I live next to you?
Aislinn human me.
So Iceland. There are three different origins of humans. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you the story. Humans. Centuries upon centuries ago, the raven god, or some call him the worm god, depending upon which of the religions you follow, led humanity from the far eastern islands all the way across the ocean to land on these shores. There were already people living here, though. The elves and the dwarves and the halflings. They didn't want the humans here. So,
sounds familiar.
Their gods had a powwow, and the raven god said, hey, look, guys, you got all of this. Let's just split it and we'll all be good. And eventually, I'll give you some things. You can have these orcs. They'll be your servants. And so the elves and the dwarves said, okay. And then they split the land in half, raised mountains between them. Humans got the south, elves and dwarves got the north. Centuries would pass, and the humans in the south grew dissatisfied with their lot. They overpopulated because they breed like rabbits, and they decided to try and conquer the north. More centuries passed, and different humans from different regions came as exiles or escaping tyranny from those regions. Those humans come in three different types. There are the Alderlanders, which are essentially the Imperials. People are born from the Southern Empire. There are the Asleen, and then there are the Islander. You are Asleen, A-S-L-E-N-E.
Yes.
Yes. Those each come from different regions, essentially. Okay. All of them came as refugees from the Alderlanders, who are assholes. Okay. Anyway, human, I'll read your part.
Okay.
There's your history lesson. And by the way, humans, everyone hates you.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Have fun with that.
That also checks out.
Duh.
Okay. Humans came to Ravenland, as it once was known, as intruders. You know it, and you can see it in the eyes of the other kin. Whether they hate you openly, fear you, or just tolerate you because you are useful to them. To them, you are intruders and will remain so even after generations have passed. Your ancestors fought against the elves, dwarves, and orcs in the armies of Alderland, who invaded Ravenland against the will of the Raven God. Or they sought sanctuary from the war as refugees and settlers. Your ancestors came walking from Alderland across the mountains in the south, riding from Azlin in the west, were put through the meat grinder of war, and stayed after the din of battle faded. The roads were closed, and demons feasted on whatever remained. When the blood mist fell like a shroud across the land, your ancestors were forced to huddle together for 10 generations, till the soil, and simply try to survive. But now the mist has lifted, and the world has opened up again. You have exchanged the plow for a sword. You were born here, and you will take that which others won't give you.
You awesome. Sound cool.
Oh, dear.
Oh, angry we're going to get farmers, to the best man. Part now. Orc.
Yes.
Elves and dwarves enslaved your ancestors. But when the war came, they needed the courage and strong arms of the orcs. Mm-hmm. Then they fled when the tide of war turned against them.
Cowards.
Now you are free. You will kill all the humans that have slaughtered your brothers. They killed them.
I'm sorry, continue.
They killed them with horrible sorcery and with demons from their unclean dreams. You despise the elves. Dwarves are wretches. This is the time of the orcs. Yes. You are many and you are strong, and you will show them a land where the orcs are in charge. The clans grow. You will make Ravenland great again. But first, you will go out into the world to ravage and have some fun. And it does actually say that.
MAGA orcs, everybody's favorite thing.
Yes.
I didn't catch that until just now.
Make Ravenland so the orcish orcs are the again. GOP. Yes.
So the orcs are all red caps.
Is this the point where I point out that I have a Richard Nixon button on my jacket right now that has the image of his face that says now more than ever?
If we tinted him ever so slightly green, he's pretty orky.
On that note.
Orcs now more than ever.
Fill me back up, Zan. Or give me a little bit more whiskey here.
I mean, say what you like about Nixon. Not an attractive man.
Nope.
Okay, let's go ahead and do the next thing.
But he was very green.
Now, each of you is going to roll.
Jelly and failing liver all along.
Each of you is going to roll your childhood. Roll a d6. Just one.
Just uno. Three.
Four.
Oh, wait, that's me. I was pouring whiskey. Sorry. Two.
Okay, and we're going to work backwards this time. Starting with the orc, your childhood. Yes. You got a two? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Two. Oh, your childhood was a worker. Your life was hard. Even as a young orc, you have toiled for as long as you can remember. You worked hard to be able to live your life as you please. So here's what you're going to write down on your character sheet. Your starting attributes are strength 5.
Hold on.
Top left.
Okay. Do I just mark all 5 bubbles? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Strength is 5. Agility is 4. Mm-hmm. And wits and empathy are both 3. And then you have the following skills: might, endurance, and crafting, all at 2.
Might, endurance, crafting. Heard.
Just out of idle curiosity, what is sort of the range of attributes for, like, how strong is 5 compared to 2 or whatever? Like, what is notional average and what is, like,
hot. Think of it this way. Whenever you do anything in this system, you're going to roll your stat and your skill as a die pool.
Gotcha.
And you're going to roll that number of D6s. In order to succeed at a task, one of those dice has to be a 6. So 6, nothing less. Which means success is frequently hard earned. Now, there are options. If you don't succeed, you can try and push that by spending some character points and possibly taking damage, but you can strive to succeed against adversity. But yeah, so keep that in mind. Your chances of succeeding, of rolling a 6 on 2d6, aren't the highest.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. We're going to go with the Aslean human.
Yes. I got a four.
Four.
Dirty human. What?
Oh. Your childhood. You were taught by a wise woman.
Cool.
As a child, you befriended a wise woman of the clan. Soon you became her apprentice and learned all about the history of your people, of ancient feats of heroism, and bloody wars. Nice. You gain strength and agility. Both start at 3. Okay. Wits starts at 5.
Okay.
Empathy starts at 4. Cool. You gain the following skills, lore and healing at 2. And you gain insight and animal handling at 1.
Excellent. I like her already.
And Wolfkin. Whew, Wolfkin.
Is this what 3. It's like to be a minority?
Yes.
Wolfkin, outcast. Oh, this is great. I love this group already.
Oh, God.
Oh, outcast. Oh, when the other cubs ran with the pack, you were cast out. Alone, you learned to live off the forest, and that other kin could be more kind than your own.
Too real.
One day, you will find your way home. Strength is 4. Wits is 5. And agility and empathy are both 3. You have the following skills. You have insight and survival at 2. And then you have melee and scouting at 1.
Barty doesn't have a thief. Unless you count the dirty human.
She only steals our land.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
She's just a white colonialist. We already covered that in the description earlier.
All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you roll for your profession. Again, this is the D6. And I'll let you flip them. Just tell me both numbers.
34 or 43.
62 or 26.
Okay, I'm going to start with Poppy first.
Okay.
You said, what was it, 62 or 26?
Correct.
You can be either a hunter or a rogue.
Oh, just my two favorite classes. That's fine.
Hunter's only a class in filthy video games.
I know.
I will go with hunter since I have animal handling.
Okay, that's good.
That's profession?
That would be your profession, okay. Hunter.
Hunter.
And Marquis, what was that?
34 or 43.
34, you can be a minstrel.
Wolfkin and the Graveyards of Thunder are coming to town.
Wolfman Jack over here.
But with a 43, you can be a peddler.
Decisions. I think. I am a lone wolf.
I love the minstrel idea.
Yeah, I think that
you have to.
Unfortunately, peddler is so inherently boring. What's your job? I sell adventurer stuff to go get killed, then I buy it back from their friends.
Oh, I see you have some used gear. Lovely.
And since I'm the white colonialist, I'm always like, sing a jig for me.
Ooh.
You have to sleep sometime.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Okay.
My throat's getting slit.
Sorry, that was the name of the song. I didn't mean to seem threatening.
Oh.
You just took it the wrong way.
Racist.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
51 or 15.
Ooh. You can be either a fighter or a rider.
W-R-I-T-E-R or R-I-D-E-R?
The second.
Fuck yeah.
If you try and ride a wolf, I will take that as racist.
I mean, I'm going to ride a wolf.
I do have animal handling as a skill.
That's how you get along with the orc. I know, I understand.
That's
why I'm friends with you guys.
Oh, God. Right.
Everybody,
I like your mount.
You should just be a fighter. We're no good at that.
Oh. Well,
then you can bully the humans you meet.
Oh.
MAGA.
No. I'm no.
Cut it.
Calling. I'm calling it. No, put the kibosh on that. No MAGA. Okay. Anyway, we're going to move on.
Sorry, Mara.
There we go. Make the rate. No. Okay. Anyway.
Marla. Make the Ravenlands great again. Marga.
Murga. Okay. Anyway, guys, please.
It's an orc word. Murga.
You got to pull back.
You're just taking it wrong. You're just taking it all wrong.
These mics are hot.
Not live.
Okay, I'm going to be a... No, I still want to be a writer.
R-I-D-E-R, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
The writer would be way more hilarious. Is that an option in there? Is there writing?
That would be fantastic. I'm sorry. I'm just here to write journalism stories about your adventures.
I really want to know, is writer or is the equivalent somewhere in there? Because you should just inflict that on him if it is.
Yes.
All of the classes are druid, fighter, hunter, minstrel, peddler, rider, rogue, and sorcerer.
Hmm. You know what? I accept my lot in life.
In fact, the only ones that were not rolled are druid and sorcerer.
No spellcaster.
You managed to get
us
all the other six. Well, hold on. Now, we're going to move on to determine what your personal profession talent is. Mm. Your profession talent is like a special talent that you start with.
Yes. Writing.
Each of you is going to roll a d6. And this time I'm going to start with Mark. 3. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, this is neat. You have the path of the war cry.
Ooh.
The best minstrel ever.
And this time I'm going to go with Dr. Xander Gerrymander. What you got?
5.
Wordsmith.
He's a wordsmith.
Oh my God. I told you the wrong one, but since you've already written down, you're going to keep it.
Okay.
Yeah. It should have been the path of the hymn.
That would have made too much sense with minstrel. That's no fun.
Yeah,
no. War cry is more.
Sorry, writer, you got a 5. You have the path of the plains.
But what am I writing? Like
we don't know yet.
Oh,
we haven't gotten there yet.
Something that flies? Because of plains?
Plains are grass.
So
you're
writing this under talents.
So these are going to be your talent. Yeah.
You're not a pilot.
Yeah.
Got it. So it was what of the plains?
Path of the plains.
Got it.
And finally, what'd you get, Poppy?
6.
You have the path of the forest.
Oh, that makes sense.
Almost too much sense.
Were we supposed to get some skills from our profession? So I thought you gave Poppy some, but we didn't get any, I don't think.
I gave all 3 of you skills that you randomly rolled.
The original thing. There were no extra ones from the profession.
That was from the profession. That was from the background. No, we haven't gotten anything else from the profession. Gotcha. We're going to roll all that in a second.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay.
One thing I do want to note here is that it doesn't say on the randomly generator, so I'm going to make you go ahead and mark these down, is that as a wolfkin, you also have the kin talent of hunting instincts. As an orc, you have the kin talent of... unbreakable. And as a human, you have the kin talent of adaptive. Additionally, as a human, you have a key attribute that you need to make a note of. Just put like a star next to it of empathy. As a wolfkin, your key attribute is, agility. And as an orc, your key attribute is strength. It's probably just put a star next to it or something. It matters for a few things.
Does our talent have a rank as the character sheet implies?
I'm not sure yet.
Fair enough.
First time going through this. Poppy, you had a question?
Unbreakable.
That's me.
Damn it. It's a miracle.
Unbreakable. Females all strong as hell. Okay, that's all. That was all.
Now I want to go see cats.
I never want to see any cats ever again. Oh, the musical. Never seen it.
No one ever has.
I've heard it exists.
Prove it.
I can't.
Okay, so each of the talents that you got so far starts at rank 1.
And I'm sorry, were our paths also talents?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the only talent we've gotten was path of...
And the species thing he just gave us of adaptability for you.
Was correct. Also a talent. You have adaptive is yours.
Okay. Did I black out for a second?
You were busy waiting to sing the Kimmy Schmidt theme song and nothing else mattered in that moment.
Yeah.
You're correct.
That was a factual recap of what occurred.
Correct. You said a rank of 1 on adaptive?
A rank of 1 on all of the talents. Next thing we need to do is roll what's called your formative event. At this point, you will be considered young. So each of you roll a d6. Poppy, I'm going to start with you. Okay.
5.
Hunter. 5. You learned... Oh, guide. Okay. You learned your talents as a guide to those who paid the best. You led caravans of peddlers, troops of soldiers, and curious adventurers. You learned the art of traverse... Yeah. Traversing the Forbidden Lands and living off of it. Okay, first, you get some gear.
Cool.
Go ahead and write this down. You have
Hold on. Gear.
Equipment, items, whatever.
Weapons.
On the back. There's a section for gear.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Fancy. Gear. Okay, got it. I'm ready.
You have a tent, a cauldron, and a blanket.
Okay.
Now, you also begin the game with the scouting skill at 2 ranks.
Scouting at...
And you gain the talent of Pathfinder at 1 rank. Not the shitty role-playing game.
But how else is she going to keep us entertained around the campfire during our games of Forbidden Lands?
Job as the minstrel.
Dr. Gerrymander, you are yes. What class again?
I am a paperback rider.
What was your D6?
4.
You are a caravan guard. Well, you were. This is your formative event. You herded livestock to greener pastures in the Forbidden Lands. In the daytime, you guarded the herd from horseback. At night, you slept under the open sky. You gained the skills of move and animal handling at 1 rank. And you gained the talent of quartermaster at 1 rank.
Nice.
Sorry. No. I gave you all the wrong things there.
Erase all those?
Erase animal handling and quartermaster. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Erase move, animal handling, and quartermaster. I was looking at the wrong row. I'm sorry. You gained melee and scouting at rank 1. And you also gained the talent Pathfinder.
You sure we're not just gaming around the campfire every night?
Don't fence me in.
All right, Mark, what you got?
2. 2.
There we go. 2. You worked as a minstrel.
Get out.
You motherfuckers just don't know how to find a job and keep it. That's all right. I'm saying.
You used your artistic talents to make a living as a minstrel. Maybe you were of the traveling kind. Maybe you worked at more permanent locations like a tavern or a castle. You gain performance at 2. And the talent of sharp tongue at 1. Oh, and Xander, you're going to get some equipment. I forgot to tell you.
Oh, lovely.
Under your gear, you get the short spear as a weapon.
Okie dokie.
While minstrel, you receive as your gear a loot.
I get loot.
Awesome. That's incredible.
How much loot do I get?
It probably has 3 or 4 strings.
Oh, so he's just a liar.
Guys, stop harping on it, okay? Let's move on. Oh,
good.
Whatever, I'm just going to sit around the fire singing Piano Man every night.
You're the worst. Wait, so is my short spear, it's not weapon, that's gear?
Yeah, it's a weapon. But it's gear. It's just you receive an item.
Do I put it in the weapon section then?
Wherever, yeah, put it in the weapon section.
How much damage does the loot do?
Depends on how out of tune you are. You
really don't want to break the loot over someone's head because then you will no longer have a loot. Now, Fair. Hold on. You're going to each have an option here. You are currently all young. If you wish, you can lower one attribute of your choice and then choose an adult career as well, which can give you more stuff.
Lower an attribute, get an adult career?
Yeah. The older you get, the lower your attributes.
So what college promised me and never delivered.
What you can do is lower an attribute.
You just get the lower attribute.
Take an adult training course. And if you want, you can do it a second time and take an old training course. It's up to you how old you want your characters to be.
And what does this give me? It gives you more skills?
What it does is it... Hold on. Lower an attribute of your choice. Whether you want to start the game as an adult. I'm trying to figure this out.
Yeah, no worries. I just don't feel like I want to be very empathetic ever again.
A college seems like the solution. You clearly went to Orc Community College where they lowered your empathy in exchange for some violence.
Yes, that sounds great.
Okay, so here's the difference between youth, adult, and old. When you go up to adult, you lose one attribute point, but you gain 2 skill points and 1 talent point. And Ooh. If you go up to old, you lose another attribute point, but you gain 2 more skill points and 1 more talent point.
Yeah, I just want to be an adult, I think.
Are you allowed to choose which attribute point, or is it random?
At this point, you may redistribute one attribute point of your choice. Yeah,
Yeah, up to a maximum, and you get 2 skill points. Yeah.
So 2 skill points and 1 talent point. Is that how it works? Okie dokie. Yeah. I am no longer empathetic.
If we decide to stay young, what is the age range on that, and how is that decided?
If you stay young, we'll roll. You're a human, so it's generally how it, you're considered like a teenager.
Okay. You said it, you roll for your age, or I just get to decide?
I don't see a specific age roll, so you are just considered a young person.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's just a thing on here that says age.
We're not going to roll D66 and end up 16 to 66.
Anyway, I'll stay young.
Okay.
26 it is.
Does anyone else at the table have melee?
I think
I do.
Poppy does too.
Might?
No, I don't have melee.
Oh, okay. I have the meleeing at the 1 for being a wolfkin.
Okay. Endurance? Anyone have endurance? Sweet. Ranking that up then.
One thing I must note about talents is that when you get multiple talent points, you have an option of you normally start the game with rank 1, but if you want any of those general talents, and I don't mean the kin talent or the profession talent, any of the general talents that I've given you, including what you might buy by being adult, you can choose to instead put that point in another talent.
Oh, like pick another random one at rank 1?
Yes.
Such as...
You can only do this once. For example, when you become an adult, you get 1 extra talent point. But you can either buy a talent or increase 1 talent that you already have to rank 2.
What are my talent options?
Oh, dude, there's a lot of them.
Okay, yeah. Never mind. I'm just going to put a rank in 2.
That would probably be the easiest thing to do unless you wanted to start passing the book around and nobody wants to hear that.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just more unbreakable now.
Unbreakable.
Stay alive, damn it.
Now, Marky, what are you thinking? You going to be adult or are you going to stick with youth?
I have a very random selection of skills and attributes that don't make me particularly good at anything. Classic bard. So I'm debating. I'm unsure if that is the I'm unsure what it is I'm trying to do based on my skills. So I'm at a loss as to whether or not I should redistribute anything.
There's a nice coffee shop down the street if you just want to go park there on open mic night.
Apparently that's all of my skills, is being a minstrel and rude to people, since that's the 1 talent I came away from it with.
So you're an amateur stand-up comic.
Great. So here's something that's I suggest.
The literal worst.
If you don't have an idea, start young, because you can only go up from there and you get more attributes. That means you're going to have a general larger amount of success at almost all things.
Okay.
All right. Young it is.
Reasonable.
And finally, we have to roll your group. How you met? Roll.
They all came to my open mic.
We established that already.
How did you meet?
At the coffee shop.
How did you meet? Is a D66. One of you must roll this. Looks like Marquis has rolled it.
I've gotten a 4 and nothing else because your table ate the other night.
You son of a bitch!
Take a gap.
Well, man down.
46.
That's the first casualty of war.
I think I lost another one in there earlier, too.
You did, actually. Yeah. I saw it.
I mean, are dangerous gaps for dice rolling.
Here's how you met. You plundered the same dungeon. Ooh. You searched long and hard for the treasure.
That
braved
is a rude
the danger.
Way to refer to Karen.
braved the dangers of the dungeon and finally found it, only to realize that you weren't alone. Other adventurers had followed the same map, looking for the same treasure. A delicate dilemma, but somehow you became friends despite it all.
Well, once they gave all the treasure to me from after my command performance, it was clear that we could be friends.
I was going to say, there's definitely a song and dance in there somewhere.
Little song, little dance, all the treasure leaving in my pants.
And finally, we get to roll to determine what you think about each other.
Yes.
Or start with a writer. Roll a D3 for your pride.
So roll and divide by 2.
Yeah.
Tree.
Horse or no horse, you never lose your balance.
I'm going to get so drunk in this game.
But I need you to roll another D3.
2.
One and a half?
Two.
Two.
It's a 2.
That's a three. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah, that's a two. You're right, two. Your horse is more important to you than any human. Others cannot understand your bond.
Well, duh.
Obviously. Humans are stupid.
I mean, there's probably some furry erotica out there about you and your horse.
Yeah, but it's all self-published. That doesn't count.
They don't know by the horse.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't want to buy any of your zines. God.
All right, Poppy, yes. Give me a D6 and then another D6. Separate rolls.
Two.
And?
Three.
Hunter, two, your pride. Your arrow always hits its mark.
Sorry, Mark.
And dark secret is you once left a wounded friend to die in the woods to save yourself.
Yikes.
Oh, God. So my love of my horse is my dark secret. Yeah. So it's is it really a secret? Am I good at hiding this? Nay, is what you would say.
Yeah. We were all expecting her to leave us to die anyway because she's a human. So I don't know how dark this secret is for her either.
Minstrel, D6 and a D6. This time on the table.
It's in. One and six.
One, your pride is that your songs can bring warmth to the coldest of hearts.
Damn, Skippy.
God damn it.
And what was the other one?
You just see an orc crying slowly in the corner.
So beautiful.
Your dark secret is that you once served the Rust Brothers as their jester, but managed to escape.
Who the hell are the Rust Brothers?
They are the bad guys, essentially. Oh. They are humans who worship a different incarnation of the old human god that has been corrupted by demons. Yeah.
So they're just the wrong religion, so they're evil. It's clear. Yeah.
It's like the Rust Brothers. It's fine.
Now, you need to determine relationships and what you think about each other. So since I'm on the minstrel, I'm going to go ahead and read these aloud. You have three of these choices. You can create your own, but let's just go with three here. You have to choose one of these for each of the others. This person is the hero of your chronicle, but does not realize it. This person does not understand what's good for her and needs your guidance. And this person is doomed. It's only a matter of time.
That was easy enough.
Yeah, that wasn't hard. Two and three seem to sum themselves up just now. Just
so say it aloud.
Oh, the horse lover is doomed and doesn't know it.
Yeah.
Because he still thinks none of us know how he feels about his horse, first off. And then what was the second one? Like, needs my help. And
this person does not understand what's good for her and needs your guidance. One. Yeah.
Stupid humans.
Oh, right, Poppy.
Can't be trusted to wander around the world on their own.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
This is what you have to decide.
Okay.
This person always makes a lot of noise. Stay away from her.
This is pointing at the minstrel.
This person is always hungry and eats all the food you catch.
And hi, I'm an orc. What do you want?
And this person has no respect for nature and its creatures.
Really? Really?
Your horse is not natural.
Your horse is a dark secret.
You're not supposed to know about that.
Exactly.
And finally, so that's what you think about them?
Yeah. So you never shut up and you have no respect for the nature.
Referring to the minstrel and rider. Oh, says
the hunter.
Yeah. Respectively. Yeah. All right. Stupid rider.
Things. Yes.
These are your options. This person has the soul of a slave and needs to be set free. This person is a loyal friend for whom you would give your life if it came to that.
Oh, these two jackoffs? No.
And this person shows you no respect and needs to be taught a lesson sooner or later.
So that is 100% the stupid fucking hunter. No respect? Teach lesson
can't
later.
Get no respect around here.
Teach lesson. What was the first one again?
They have the soul of a slave and need to be set free.
Man, you're just like a slave to your axe, man. You just gotta, like, put that loot down and just free yourself, brother.
Okay.
I actually like the Wolfkin. He's pretty cool. I'll give my life for him.
All right, and finally, let's go ahead.
I told you he was doomed. It's because I'm going to do something stupid and he's going to get in the way.
Let's give your characters some names. We're going to start with a human. Typical female names are
You made that sound way more sexist than I think you meant to do. Typical female name.
Typical female woman name.
Yeah. Typical female names for the setting are Germelda, Halinda, Nermina, Cyndia, Talina.
All right, Swedes.
Yes, it's very Swedish.
It's so Swedish.
I'm going to go with...
Sweetie. Like sweetie, but with a D. Sweetie. So we can be more Swedish.
I'm going to go with Imelda.
Okay, Imelda's good. I like that. Wolfkin. Typical Wolfkin names.
Is Wolf. Ow!
I'm just assuming male, unless you say otherwise. Alain. And... Oh, these are interesting, actually. Oh, they're also very Swedish. Alain. Alhon, Jabari,
Jabroni,
Kakoa, and Naako.
Or like Brent or Chad.
Or it could be like Growlface or Kitty Pants or whatever.
Oh, little Mr. Fuzzy Pants.
Oh, like Mr. Kitty Pants.
Hold on. I'm going to look up what goodest boy is in Swedish real quick.
What's the Swedish equivalent of like spot or rover?
There you go.
And orcish names.
Common Swedish.
Orcish names so far are the coolest. Archa, Golgara, Harasa, Hrold, and Nanga are examples of orcish names.
Can my name be Nanga again?
Nanga again.
Make Nanga great again.
Your name can be whatever you want it to be.
Aww.
It's not how you're going to play this game.
I am Nanga again. As in Nanga again, going to let these humans take my land.
I'm definitely going with the list of popular Swedish dog names as good choices here. We have Berger, which is one who helps. Blix, which is joy or cheer. Gunner, battle strong. Bjorn, bear. Franz, free. Astra, divine beauty. Enoch, faithful. And Rolf, the legendary wolf.
I think you're Rolf.
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 Like R-O-L-F?
R-O-F-F-E.
R-O-F.
But pretty close to the minstrel dog from, you know, Rolf. You got to go with Rolf.
All right. So are awesome. There is a side note here on the orcish description.
Yes.
Playing an orc. Orcs are feared and hated by most other kin. Races. Playing an orc will therefore present unique challenges to you and your group. Mm-hmm. If you want to play an orc, it's a good idea to discuss it with your group first.
Fuck all y'all, I'm playing an orc. Any questions?
Forbidden Landsmaster, he was rolling loaded dice during the kin selection.
He's no respect for the natural world.
Yeah.
Asshole.
You have no respect for literally any other species on this entire land.
That's just racist and not true.
100% true.
The last thing we got to do is write down your starting resources. Okay, and writer, I've already got your page open here. So you're going to start with a riding horse.
Yep, hold on. Where's resources?
Well, this is just gear first.
Oh, gear. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hit me. What do you got?
You have a riding horse.
Of course. Is that under mount?
There's a whole section on mount.
Oh, you get to give your mount a name.
You have a hand axe. You have one item of your choice from a list of trail goods or trade goods.
Oh, it was like beef jerky.
And you beef do jerky. Have the following actual resources. Silver is D6.
Horse names.
So here's the confusion is that there are three. This is why it's confusing. Your resources are represented as a die. While silver is right next to them, and it looks like it's supposed to also be represented as a die, but actually, no, you do roll a D6 to determine how much your starting silver is.
Oh, and that was 5 then.
Okay, you have 5 starting silver. But your actual resources is you have a D8 in food, a D8 in water, and a D10 in arrows. Don't roll them. Write it down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, D8.
Yes.
Food, D8. Water D10 arrows?
Yes.
So that's like an attribute you roll occasionally?
Essentially, whenever you make use of them, you roll it. And if it doesn't roll a 1, then you still keep that die number. Otherwise, you drop it down a size.
It is weird that this is the first appearance of other polyhedral dice thus far in the game system.
The game uses D6s for the primary rolls. However, there's cases where you're going to roll a D8, such as for resources or for special weapons, and occasionally roll a D10 and even a D12. There's actually special dice that come with it. Anyway, let's go to the minstrel. Minstrel, you have your you have a knife. You have an item of your choice from a list of trade goods. You have D8 silver. And just to clarify, you do roll that now.
That's a D8. There we go. Cinco.
And next, you're going to have the following resource dice. You're going to have a D8 for food and a D6 for water. And finally, Hunter.
Hold on. Instagram is very important. Okay. I'm taking pictures of the doctor here.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Hunter.
Yes.
You start with two items of your choice from the list of trade goods. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
You got to roll a D6 for your silver. Good job. Now you have three silver, and next to your resources, right, that you have a D8 for food.
Wait, it doesn't say resources.
It's right above where you were just writing. Flip it over. There's one section each for food, water, whatever. Yep.
Food,
with
water.
With the knuckle tattoos.
Yeah. It says consumables.
Oh, consumables.
See the knuckle tattoos? That's what I was talking about before.
Knuckle tattoos?
Yeah, the images next to food, water, and arrows and stuff. Those were the knuckle tattoos I was describing earlier.
And a joint?
No, it's a torch, I think.
Okay, sorry. So tell me again what I'm doing.
D8 for food. Write D8. It down. No, write it down. Just write D8. Yeah. Okay. A D8 for water and a D10 for arrows.
Okay.
And we're fucking done. All right.
Oh, God.
All right. When do we start sticking stickers to things? That's the most important question I yet have about this game.
What we would do is we would take these characters and then talk about how we met, talk about the next thing that happened right after that formative event. Typically, it could be you're leaving the dungeon, kind of looking at each other like, all right, this guy's okay. We can hang for a little bit. And then something weird would happen. Either we'd have a randomly rolled encounter, of which there are lots, or we'd like, okay, you step out into the wild. It is sunrise. You see that there's woods to the north, woods to the east, to the south. You see the woods are thinning out, but there is a distant spire from which you see a plume of smoke rising, and back to the west is just back into the cave. Which direction do you go? Kind of thing.
I don't know. I like smoke.
I actually kind of want you to just tell us what the random... We don't actually have to play it through, but you should roll us a random encounter so we know what happened after we met in the dungeon.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, I can do that.
Awkwardly, we're like, because
we've rolled on all these random tables. We might as well continue the game of RNGesusing.
Let's just go through this little supplement here.
Everybody pray to RNGesus.
RNGesus. All right, first we're going to do the legend generator. This is going to be a random story that you uncovered while you were in the dungeon. Somebody roll me a D6, and someone else roll me another D6.
I rolled a 5.
And Mark is no longer allowed to roll dice.
I also rolled a 5.
All right, 55.
Well, if I can't roll them, I should just feed them to the table out of boredom.
Pretty much. Oh, look, a little one right here.
So, because if I don't need to roll them, then they serve me no other purpose, do they, NPC?
You're holding his face here. You didn't get it.
So I only have one question for you. Do I still need these dice in my hand for anything?
Hold on.
The constipation is real, though.
Okay, we need a picture of, like...
55. All right. Guys, let's get through this so I can eat.
We have to flex for the gram. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. All about the gram, yo.
You need to take a shot of you pouring the empty bottle into the table later.
This legend is based during the Alder Wars, which is about 300 to 360 years ago. So next, Poppy, roll me D66.
What?
Just roll it.
Two.
One number than the other. Yeah.
Yes. D66 is what it's called.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
45.
And then roll it again.
51.
Okay. A long time ago, there was an honorable lord. Okay.
Must not have been human.
Xander, roll me a D66.
14.
This lord sought a weapon because of another D66.
64.
What?
64.
Because of greed. Okay. An honorable lord sought a weapon because of greed and traveled to D66.
34.
A tower. Oh, shit. Returning from some ridiculous technical difficulties that turned out to actually not be difficult at all.
But that was some good B-roll we just got.
It was good stuff.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Stick around, folks. I'm going to try and insert some bonus content at the end here. Okay. The girl from Ipanema.
Dude, if that were your actual theme song for some of these, that would be fucking hilarious. Like, of the most random song to have as like a gaming podcast thing. But sure. Okay, then.
So you're on the continent of Ipanema.
So let's
Ipanema.
Let's recap what we got here. We got a long time ago, in the about 300 years ago or so, there was an honorable lord who sought a weapon because of greed and traveled to, roll D66.
25.
Traveled to a grave located D6. Yes.
4.
A few days off in some D66.
14.
Ruins in the direction of D6 or D8. Ooh.
We're ready.
D8. 6.
Southwest, from the southwest from where you are. And it's, as the legend goes, it is said that he or she, D66.
22.
Was murdered.
Yes.
That at the location there is or are D66.
62.
A dwarven artifact.
Ooh.
But also D66.
36.
Watchful D66.
Ah! 35.
Iron guards.
Ooh. This is like the world's most random Mad Lib. Just like die rolling to fill it in instead of.
All right, let's see if I can remember that. Game. So a long time ago, about 300 years ago, there was an honorable lord who sought a weapon because of greed and traveled to a ruin located a few days off in some ruins. Wait, traveled to a tower or a castle?
No, there's definitely a graveyard in there.
A graveyard. That was it. Traveled to a grave located a few days off in some ruins to the west.
Southwest.
Yes. As the legend goes, he was murdered. And that at the location, there is a dwarven artifact, but also watchful iron guards.
Yeah. No, that sounds good.
If only I knew what any of those words meant in this setting.
All right. Iron guards, like guard rails that prevent my horse from going off the road.
Okay. Now, tell you what.
Compliant ruins.
On the way, you encounter a monster. Let's roll it to determine what it is.
Yes.
D66.
Your turn.
So exciting. 64.
It is gigantic.
Oh, God, no. You stop that right now.
Okay, D66.
45.
Predator.
D66. Oh, God, this gets worse and worse. 55.
Because if you had rolled like 11 to 13, it would have been grazing cattle.
We encountered grazing cattle. Why is that noteworthy?
So you said, they're predatory.
Predatory cattle.
So you said 45?
55.
55. So instead of a grazing cattle, it's a predator. It is a gigantic critter.
It's a what?
It is a gigantic predator with 4 legs, 2 arms. Wait, roll what? D66.
I don't like where this is going.
54.
It has its head has a long tongue. Roll D6. Oh,
God. 2.
No tail. Roll D66.
It's 16.
Soft fur.
Aw, well, we get a nice pelt out of this.
Roll D66.
We'll fuck this up.
43.
It moves by, its primary method of movement is running.
No.
Roll D66.
No.
65.
It lives in an underground lair.
Don't like this at all.
Roll D66.
22.
It is not good at melee. Roll D66.
You know what? You know what? You're welcome, everybody else in this party.
25.
It is not good at stealth. Roll D66.
Excellent.
It's giant and predatory. I would think not. Oh, no, I rolled high again. That seems to have been bad. 51.
It is really good at moving. Roll D66. Well,
it runs, I likes guess.
To move it.
Move it.
Move it.
One more time.
Oh. 32.
And it's not good at scouting.
It's not good at that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For roll us. Me a D3.
2.5, so that's 3.
Okay, roll me D66 and twice.
41.
God, 62.
Okay, it is camouflaged.
Fast, invisible.
Wait. The predator. It's bad at stealth, but it is camouflage.
It doesn't need to be good at stealth if it's camouflage.
It just sits still. It's the moment it moves, you see it, though.
But it also has acid glands.
Good job, Xander.
However, D66. Good.
64?
It is obsessed with anything that shimmers. As a weakness, if the creature sees something that shimmers like silver or a mirror, it will focus on the source of the shimmering.
I like that.
And we got a few more things to roll here. D66 for its motivation.
55.
It just wants to be left alone.
No!
D66. I'm sorry. Roll a D3.
Three.
Okay, sweet. Roll a D6, a D6, and then a D6 again.
4. Under the table. 2.
Little boss.
6.
4, 2, and 6. Ooh. It has fangs. It has claws. And it has a fearsome roar.
Ooh.
Okay, that sounds nice.
Fearsome is the opposite of nice, FYI. Just so you're,
I mean, I can
definitions are in order.
I can appreciate a good roar, is what all I'm
the
trying
thing
to say.
Is pretty bitchin' strong. Here. We'll get the dice out of the table later, but we got more random tables.
Cable management is important, people, but so is not leaving gaps in the dice table. It's because you haven't sacrificed any dice to the table intentionally. It was smiting you for your lack of faith. I haven't lost a single die since I paid tribute.
Is that what
right.
it is?
Let's roll a random encounter. An actual encounter.
Oh, God.
What environment are we going in? Are we going to the south where it's light forest? Or are we going to the north or the east where it's heavy forest?
I like light forest. It sounds good for a writer.
Yeah, plains guy likes light forest. Kelsa Priest.
All right, roll me a D66.
53.
Great. That's encounter number 7. The massacre lure. A terrible scene unfolds in front of you. A dozen humans are crawling around with their innards spilled out. Some still alive.
Fine.
Some still alive, soaked in blood. Mm-hmm. A cart with merchandise is overturned. A few people are moaning, others screaming. A woman in chainmail is trying to lift a sword. When a comparatively healthy young man sees you, he screams hysterically, "Robbers! They took our horses! Do you have water? Is anyone a healer? No, brother, don't fall asleep."
Sounds like a personal problem.
I have a 2 in healing.
What do you do?
Finish off the guards and take what's left of the loot?
Yeah, I'm in.
I mean, they're just humans, right?
You right,
humans?
Yeah, just fuck them.
So you're going to move into attack?
Absolutely.
No.
All right. The scene is, in fact, completely staged and no one is hurt. It's a group of slavers who have poured blood and intestines from animals on to and around themselves, hoping that the adventurers will approach with their without their weapons drawn.
Suckers.
However,
so we have weapons drawn.
Their goal is not to kill, but to put the adventurers out of action using cudgels, then sell them as slaves, possibly at Grindbone.
So the fact that we just charge after them, weapons drawn, we actually have a pretty good advantage because they're all just like on the ground. Not armed initial.
Yeah. It appears that you have a bit of it.
That'll teach you. Never fall for it.
Stupid human.
Okay, hold on. Let's do one last thing here, though.
Oh, no.
We bonded over massacring some slavers. It was great. That's how we became friends.
Yeah. I'm like, they lied. I can't believe they lied.
Humans always lie.
My whole world is a lie.
Yeah.
You're from the human world. Of course.
Oh, you guys just came out of a dungeon. Let's talk about the dungeon. Roll me a D66.
Woo! 65?
65. Oh, this dungeon is fairly recent, actually. It's only D6 years old. Yeah.
D6 years old?
Do dungeons get birthday parties?
Yeah, yeah.
How does one age the dungeon? Do you cut it in half and count the rings?
It's only existed for the past few years.
As long as you don't get a dungeon and it's terrible twos, you're fine.
However, roll a D6 for the size.
What about a rebellious teenage dungeon?
One. Size.
What?
One.
That's a very small dungeon. Roll a D6. Aww. Or how many?
We made a dungeon.
It's just a basement of some creepy dude.
This all rings a little true right now. Can we be careful with the words while we're down in this basement?
With the creepy
How dude? Old is this dungeon, NPC?
How many dice have you poured underneath my table there, my friend?
I think this house was actually built in 1906.
So roll a D6 to determine this. How many rooms?
Three.
It's three rooms.
It really is just a creepy basement.
Wait, how many rooms are in this basement?
Roll a D66.
That's the funny part.
Roll a D66 to determine the creator of the dungeon.
22.
Orcs. No, dwarves. Sorry, dwarves. And roll another D66 to determine why they created it.
Creepiness.
24.
Spite.
For greed. Dwarves created it for greed. Roll another D66.
14.
Its original purpose was the temple. Roll a D66.
31.
However, resources dwindled and builders left the dungeon.
That's why it's a three room, so it's not even like a dungeon. We're like in an abandoned construction site, like an open, foundation. It's not even a ceiling.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Let's determine where it is.
It's one of those apartment complexes on the waterfront.
Oh, it's a studio. It's fine.
D66.
D66.
We didn't show up to rob it. We all just heard that it was a cheap room for rent.
It's by the river. I don't know.
45.
45. The entrance to the dungeon is covered in moss.
It is Portland.
Yep.
Roll another D66.
14.
When you arrive there, it's inhabited by slave traders.
No wonder we didn't fall for that massacre war. You're the second group of slave traders we met today, guys. Shut up.
Roll another D66. Where do we live?
14.
Somewhere in the dungeon, you encountered a trap door.
In one of those three rooms.
but roll another D66.
16.
And one of the oddities is that it's full of strange flowers.
The trap door is full of strange flowers?
No, the dungeon itself.
Oh, like they're growers. It's just a bunch of pot.
It's like a slave opium field.
Oh.
Except it's in the foundation of an unfinished chapel because that's just, cool. And cheap real estate.
It's a good front. You just have a church that is full of growers and slavery.
So we're saying that. So we met at this. Out. We met at the ruins of this not built temple. So not really ruins. And we're all like, yeah, we were here to stop the slavers. And in our heads, each of us is like, I was here to buy drugs. I hope they don't figure it out.
I mean, the torch does look like a joint. I'm just saying.
It's totally a Breaking Bad origin story. We all showed up at the same illegal grow to cause a thing. And so we all pretended we were there to rob it and just robbed it together by accident.
Yeah. So this grow site is ours now.
So first off, I would never run that game, but it does sound hilarious. I would fucking play it. I wish I was one of the players in this group of people knocking over slave traders in a fantasy world.
That just sounds their great. Drugs. Yeah.
But what do y'all think so far? What do you think of this?
Wait, can we call it Breaking Bard?
Yes!
Because I'm the young, innocent minstrel who's just along for the ride.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're the grizzled old tough guy from Breaking Bad. What was his name?
Oh, God.
The really hard motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh. He was basically an orc.
He was, and I already took adult, so.
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
Well, now I really want to play a Breaking Bad inspired fantasy game.
Yeah.
Because fucking rad.
Because Breaking Bard would be outstanding.
Yeah. This sounds like what we just did.
Yeah. Oh,
so
God.
How are we going to corrupt
the little teenager human?
You mean Better Call Saul over here, who doesn't yet know how crooked that she could be?
Oh,
wait. She's not Jesse Pinkerton?
No, I'm a teenager, so.
Oh, well, maybe. Yeah.
No, I think she's Jesse.
Yeah. Starts out all.
Yeah, just kind of spry and then just gets corrupted more and more as.
And then I have to kill you later.
Oh, checks out. Oh God, yeah. If no one's ever seen Breaking Bad before, our bad.
Sorry.
I've never seen Breaking Bad.
I've actually watched erratic parts of it, but I know the thrust.
It's yet one more of those shows about bad people doing bad things to each other for bad reasons.
Well, supposedly the
person doing bad things for good reasons that ends up becoming bad, so it's a little bit more complicated than that.
He becomes bad pretty quickly.
It's a descent story, which is super interesting. Yeah. I love books like that.
Isn't he like dying? So
is his wife have cancer? Or does he have cancer?
No, he does.
He does.
That's why he's trying
people
to
lose their fucking minds when they're dying of cancer.
I mean, also villain narratives are great. So
yeah. Well, what about this though? Would you play this?
With this party? Abso-fucking-lutely.
I'm like just kind of confused, but I love the rolling random everything, including the encounter and the story. So
it's
I
got so much randomness.
I would give this a shot purely for the random nature.
I do want to note that the game does have some fully fleshed out scenarios mm-hmm. and fully mapped out and detailed encounters and things that are pretty awesome. What we went through after character creation was an example of the different kind of random helper tables. If you are running the game, you're running it true sandbox style and you don't really know what's going to happen next, or you had a thing planned over here and the group's like, no, we're not going to go for that plume of smoke. We're just going to stay here. And you're like, well, fuck, what do I do now? That is what those random tables are for.
Huh. It almost feels to me from what we just saw, like you could almost play this as a DM-less game, right? Like if the role playing is focused around the stuff that the players are doing with each other and the exterior world scenarios can all be generated off the cuff, you know, hell, you could write a program that would do it in no time.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of rolling a million dice. But there's definitely some, which has always been an interesting concept, right? Like the idea of like, I've seen games that try and do it before, like DM-less role playing. And it's always sort of interesting, right? Because sometimes just like you just said, I would have loved to play this game, but I don't really have any interest in running it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I don't like running games about bad people,
which is fair.
I love playing the bad person. It's weird. I could play a bad person in a one shot, but if we're going to sit down and run a game, I'm like, man, and that descent into madness, that Breaking Bad thing doesn't appeal to me.
I've always really enjoyed running those games. Yeah. It's definitely a style thing you have to be into, no argument.
My main reason, and I was burned in my youth, in my middle school and teenage years, I played with those guys. Well, I bought the books and I like to read them, so that may be the GM. But the people that I played with were those, okay, I want to play this character. Cool. I just want to do nothing. You guys, oh yeah, we're all adventurers. Cool. We're going to stay in town and sell drugs. Now we're going to go break kneecaps to the people that don't pay us. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to go door by door and do home invasion in the town. And then we're going to rape people. And I'm like, man, it was just, I got so burned out on that villainy play that just like the psychopath murder hobos.
There's a deck of cards for this?
Yeah, yeah. There's helper cards, items, and horse, different types of mounts. There's actually a fighting system that you can use as an alternate dueling between two people, where you have each have a stack of cards, and you play them face down. You play two of them, and then you match them and flip them, and depending upon what you do, affects the other person's action. Yeah, like there's different types of defenses that are better against different types of attacks. But you don't use those in just a brawl. You use it if it's like one-on-one fighting.
Sure. I want to use this in a brawl.
Dande.
Oh, the claws. Yeah, there's all of the legendary items are in that deck, too. The game also has its own custom dice.
Claws.
They're not like the Fantasy Flight weird dice.
Wolverine
They're
shit going on here.
Standard dice that we've been using, but they have like special marks on them to sure. denote success and failure.
Yeah, I think that the game itself seems fine. I mean, for random character generation, I applaud the speed with which we cruised through that. Like that was very quick. random everything generation.
Yeah.
I think each character maybe took us like 10 minutes ish, 15 minutes ish. And we could have been faster if we
hadn't. And we were drinking and not taking it seriously.
That said, like, you know, it's always hard to judge a game system that you haven't actually played.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm sort of like predicting. It seems straightforward enough as a game system. You explained the dice pooling, which I'm always a fan of dice pool style.
I love dice pools.
There's a part of me that just wants to roll handfuls of dice.
My favorite swimming pool.
I always like rolling handfuls of dice because I feel like I'm less dependent on the fall of one D20 to determine my fate. And I grew up playing war games, so I love rolling giant fistfuls of D6s. So I will now fire these 400 muskets at you, each represented by an individual dice.
So we need to play Shadowrun is what you're saying.
Whichever, yeah. Or any of those many dice pool style game systems. I was in like the old West End Star Wars game, right? You rolled you'd roll like four or six dice at a time, too.
Well, to me, I think it's so much more representative of any kind of skill that you have, where the higher your skill is, the more dice you get to roll, and you have the threshold for success and failure and whatnot. Because just in real life, if you're an expert at whatever the fuck, and like, you can just keep rolling ones, like, what, am I just having a bad day? Like, what is going on?
Well, and, it,
and so the odds of actually being, or it being more representative of you having a skill set to actually succeed with a bigger dice pool makes so much more sense. Well, the odds of you fucking that up is so much lower.
Well, and the bigger the dice pool games all tend to add additional dice, right? Like the higher levels of skill or the higher attributes always seem to add, mostly seem to add consistency to your outcomes. They don't necessarily make that you're wildly better at a given task, especially if the system doesn't have a threshold success system, right? If it's just you did it or you didn't, right?
Yeah.
All that adding more dice does is means you have your odds of yes versus no are higher.
Well, I really enjoyed seeing this in play. I'm getting ready to run a game starting this weekend. So now I know certain things not to do.
Remember the dice trays?
I got to remember the dice trays, definitely. Any last thoughts on this?
Again, everybody should look at the character sheet. It's friggin' adorable.
Yeah.
I took a bunch of pictures. We'll post it on the Instagrams.
This, as Mark was saying before we started recording, and I think you might have mentioned it at one point, is the box does look like a board game. Like, if you didn't see this on the RPG shelf, you could easily assume it was just something else.
Hey, well, and it even has, like, so the front of it, all that it says is Forbidden Lands, there's some art, and then Rogues and Raiders in a Cursed World.
It doesn't even say role-playing game in the front.
It doesn't say it's a game even, right? Yeah. Like, but then on the back, it even has some of the, like, indicators you're used to seeing on board games, like 2 to 6 players for ages 14 plus, takes 120 minutes, like, especially that time thing I very much associate with board game boxes.
Oh, 120 minutes? No.
Right.
You need at least 240 minutes.
Yeah, for an RPG session, yeah, like 4 hours, right? Yeah. But yeah, like, it's got, like, the time thing that I associate with board games these days, and not RPGs. Since RPGs tend to be open-ended anyway.
Yeah.
Bobby, final thoughts?
That was a lot of dice rolling.
Especially for that Mad Lib of death at the end.
I did like the Mad Lib style encounter.
Especially the monster-making vibe.
Oh my gosh, that was pretty amazing. I did like that it was...
It just wants to be left alone.
And it has a really big... tongue, and like
it spits acid.
Yeah, the fact that it was like listening to somebody read a Mad Lib as it was getting filled in because there was all those pauses
while we were all
it's got camouflage but sucks at stealth.
We were all like helping roll. It was kind of, we all got like really excited about like, whose turn is it?
Oh god, what's next?
That was, I like that aspect. I think this would be fun to play as a one shot.
I also think that I would love for that to be every random monster creation ever.
I'm working on that for Hammer Crawl.
I mean, that's how often you end up with monsters like the, what's that one from D&D, the Aboleth or whatever it is, that just like looks like somebody just cut and pasted animals together.
That's not the Aboleth. The Aboleth is just a fucking squid. Maybe the I don't know.
It kind of reminded me of...
So I know there's some weird-ass D&D monsters, but let me talk about fucking Palladium monsters.
Oh, yeah,
Palladium monsters, if you look at the Palladium Monsters and Animals book, that's some of the weirdest shit. You're like, what the fuck? Who came up with this idea? It's whack.
Actually, earlier today, while I was doing the day job, I was listening to our old... character jam of Nightbane.
Yes.
And the Nightbane character. Yeah, the Nightbane character creation is a lot like this. It's just wacky. It's like, okay, you are a alien angel with gut tentacles and 40 mouths all over your body. And it was just, you know, just.
Yeah. Nightbane. White Wolf ain't got shit on Nightbane.
Well, the funny thing about
Nightbane Palladium is like you take White Wolf and then you dose acid and listen to a shitload of metal. And there you have Nightbane.
The funny thing about Palladium or is White Wolf, how whatever. Much they were into sort of Cthulhu mythos style stuff, really, underneath everything. Like,
well, Palladium fantasy, like the gods.
They love old gods. The shit out of that as a setting point. Yeah. I mean, it's a big thing in Rift, it's a big thing in Palladium.
Yeah.
There's implications of it even in like TMNT and After the Bomb and stuff, although it's like subtler there. Clearly the writers were super into that as a thing.
Absolutely.
As hey, Xander, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks. Sorry.
His dickle's empty. That's how Xander is right now.
Well, let's go ahead and close this out then. I am looking forward to running this weekend. I know that you have said that you would appreciate this as a one shot. I'm going to attempt to run it as at least the mini campaign. Yeah, a handful of sessions, up to 13 probably. So we'll see how it goes. Cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Godspeed.
Yep.
I do still want to come back and do some Palladium.
Oh, that's going to happen.
I also, if the question was, would I run this game with this group? With this fucking mismatch, fucking, yes, just for the group.
One thing that's interesting is that you can take the concepts and the core things and remove them from the setting and insert them into any other homemade fantasy setting. In fact, I was highly considering taking everything that we did, pulling it out of the Forbidden Lands, or the Raven Lands, as they call it, and putting it into Palladium Fantasy. That game world is my favorite fantasy world. But, okay, anyway, I digress. Let's go ahead and close this out. You've been listening to another Character Jam from Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Once again, we want to invite you to find us online and interact with us on the internets. Join us on Discord. Send us a message on Facebook. Check out our website. It's rad, you know, all that stuff. We got Instagrams. Dr. Xander Gerrymander here is our official photographer. And
yes,
fills the feeds with all of the pictures, including some that are amusing this evening.
They will be very amusing this evening. Again, on the Instagrams, you can find us at Breakfast Puppies. You can find me at Xander Gerrymander.
You can find me at Poppy Beaujolais.
You can find my shenanigans, not so much of me, oddly, at Critical Hit Burlesque.
And once again, thank you for listening to us. I am NPC.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Poppy Beaujolais.
And I'm the Mad Marquis.
And thanks for listening to another episode of Character Jam. Jam!
And please remember to always jam responsibly.
Make sure you know where the dice roll.
Jam most righteously.
Don't put the die in the crack.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your car. The Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
I'm gonna try and edit myself a sense of humor back in there.
This canned laughter on your track. That's only especially good if it's a video, as we can do the angry slow zoom in on your eyes while the like laughter is played.